You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
I just always appreciate, not just Bachman Turner Overdrive, but anytime Luke will play something from before he was born, which, you know, that happens a lot. He's just going to have to get used to it on this show. Political analyst Joe Zepecki is with us here now. Joe contributes lots of political analysis for Up North News. He's described here as a veteran political strategist who has worked on campaigns for president, governor, U.S. Senate, Congress, and more. He served President Obama at the Small Business Administration in Washington, D.C. Joe lives in Milwaukee and is the founder and president, how convenient, of Zepecki Communications. Oh, that worked out well for you. How you doing, Joe?
I'm great. You know, if you can't run for something to get that cool title, you might as well just create something that gets you that cool title.
Got that right. I didn't get to be founding editor by founding, anything before this. So I'm going to take it. Joe, as we were chatting here just before coming on, a lot of folks are noting that the President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act, as everybody's going to call it afterwards, even though it was a Schumer-Manchin joint, if you will, that thing has passed the Senate yesterday on a 50-50 vote with Vice President Kamala Harris breaking the tie, sends it on to the House. The House vote isn't until Friday, which is weird because everybody's out on recess and they're being called back to vote on a Friday, and then I don't know if they're done or what, but you and I both think they should move that up.
I'd like to see it done. This is so exciting. And even, just before we get into the Inflation Reduction Act of it all, my old friend, Senator Chris Murphy, who I had the opportunity to work with when he ran for Congress in 2006, I thought he put it really well over the weekend, just what a big week this was for Joe Biden. So I'll read his tweet. So in a one single week, Joe Biden is going to preside over an economy with the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, pass legislation radically lowering drug costs for millions of Americans, kill the Al-Qaeda leader Trump couldn't find, and pass the biggest clean energy bill ever. What a week. And more wins coming when this thing passes the House. It's remarkable.
And he was in isolation most of this time with COVID. It's right. Amazing what you can do when you work from home, you know?
That's right.
Joe, you and I have been involved in this enough. And I mentioned this at the very top of the show in our 8 o'clock hour, that because Democrats wanted so much more, talked about so much more, didn't play the game of, limiting expectations. As a result, there is this legacy media narrative that, Dems had to settle for so much less, as opposed to, look at all of this. This is so much more than, what any modern era president has gotten done in their first couple of years. But that is that's the media narrative ecosystem we live in.
Yeah, listen, politics is ultimately about the art of the possible, and it may well be, years from now when the books are written, that this was the strategy all along, that in order to land at something as good as the Inflation Reduction Act, you had to start out pie in the sky so that you could let really important senators like Joe Manchin, like Kyrsten Sinema, take their pound of flesh, pare it back, so that they could do their own politics back home. That might be the way that, this turns out. Here's what I know. From where I sit, with Joe Biden getting bipartisan victories on the infrastructure law, the first gun control law in 30 years, it sounds like there will be an Electoral College Act reform that's done on a bipartisan basis, a CHIPS bill to, turbocharge American manufacturing and R&D so that we're competing with China. Maybe Joe Biden's just really good at this. And maybe we didn't, maybe the legacy media didn't keep that in mind, that like this guy's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. When you start looking at the wins that he has stacked up, they can tell whatever story they want. These are wins for the American people. And that's why Joe Biden ran for president.
The thing to keep in mind is, a lot of people got spoiled by The West Wing and they think, well, you know, that's way too romantic, you know, and to a degree that's true. I mean, the romantic storytelling is done for TV, but the root of all of that is a lot gets done behind the scenes in these conversations, including, you know, the setting of an agenda, the setting of expectations, you know, and such. And I think part of it too, Joe, is that there were all of these votes leading up to this, the Consumer Fuel Price Gouging Act, the Big Oil Windfall Profits Tax, the Lower Food and Fuel Cost Act, the Affordable Insulin Act, all these things that were put up for Republicans to vote on. They voted no on baby formula, you know, and things like that. And I think because all of those little things, you know, were out there, they kind of took attention away from what turned out to be the larger issue of what ultimately passed.
Yeah, Republicans don't actually want Americans to pay less for everyday goods, from healthcare to baby formula to diapers, unit to gasoline. They've had the opportunity to take action because Democrats are bringing things to the floor. And time after time, Republicans like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson are voting no. They'd rather have inflation be a political issue than address it for the American people and lower costs. That's one of the things that's at stake this November.
Another person who vocalized that was New York Representative Elise Stefanik, who said during the summer, told Fox News, well, the reason the GOP isn't addressing any of these crises is that they're waiting until next year when they think they'll control the House. So, you know, way to help out the regular person now. Joe Zepecki is with us. We'll be back with more. You're up north. The choices of music of our guests concern me today. Sean Fetteplace needed some Twisted Sister last hour. Joe Zepecki's here now, needed some Guns N' Roses. I got coffee. You guys, neither one of you have coffee, or do you need that much more on a Monday to wake up?
I'm not a coffee drinker. I usually don't admit that publicly. I can't do hot liquids. I don't do tea. I don't do coffee. I get my caffeine later in the day from a single can of soda a day is what I allow myself.
Oh, okay. Well, then fine. Music will get it done. I got no problem with that. Political analyst Joe Zepecki talking this hour about the Inflation Reduction Act, the Biden agenda, things that got done, things that didn't get done. And I want to start with something that didn't get done, basically because it got voted down. So my two cents on this is quite simple. Republicans really missed a gimme. They were so hoping that either Manchin or Sinema would blow this thing up at the last minute. And when what they could say, you know what, this bill is going to pass with 50 votes plus Kamala Harris. So let's at least not be on the wrong side of a vote on capping the price of insulin. And instead, a few Republicans, had the courage to vote for that amendment. But Ron Johnson didn't. Jody Ernst from Iowa, who said insulin prices were one of her, you know, pet issues, she voted no on it. Joe, is there something more to it, or do I feel like just Republicans just missed a golden opportunity to not have that be a liability for the rest of this year?
I thought it would be a long time before we saw a strategy, a choice, a decision by Republicans stupider than the one they made a couple weeks ago to mess with veterans who were exposed to toxic burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. That was one of the dumbest political blunders I have seen in a long time, to the point that you sit there and you go, man, it's going to be a while until you see one that is this bad. Well, just kidding. Now Republicans have chosen within 10 days later to oppose a $35 a month cap on insulin, which is not a nice to have. It's not a, boy, wouldn't it be great. Insulin is required for diabetics to live. The patent for insulin was sold for a single dollar about 100 years ago. The drug companies have made their money back, and the amounts that they charge are outrageous. And there are tens of, if not hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites who have diabetes and require insulin to live. And Ron Johnson just voted against making their insulin more affordable. Wow, is that bad politics on top of bad policy?
I heard one attempt from him to respond to it. And I have to say, I normally, you know, try to process an answer and give it the benefit of the doubt, or at least try to interpret it. Honestly, all I got out of it was word salad. I don't know what it is he was justifying his no vote on.
Yeah, but that's the thing. On issue after issue, he's just playing politics and doing the bidding of what Mitch McConnell and national Republicans seem to be telling him to do. Ron Johnson started his political career as Mr. Manufacturing and voted against the CHIPS bill in the last 2 weeks. 14 Republicans voted for that so we could be more competitive with China, reshore American manufacturing for things like semiconductors, and Ron Johnson votes no. He doesn't have a leg to stand on these. That's why it's word salad. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just thinking that the politics are more important than the people he was sent to serve, is what it looks like.
Let's talk about helping more of the workforce. And we know that Ron Johnson's been on the wrong side of other issues, like, you know, jobs coming to Oshkosh, that instead are not coming to Oshkosh, and he refuses to fight for them. But to keep the discussion on the Inflation Reduction Act, we have talked a lot about the climate sections of the bill and the investments that are going to be made. But this isn't just about doing less damage to the climate. This is jobs related material as well.
Oh yeah, this is an economic stimulus package, particularly for blue collar union jobs. And the way they've done this is with 10 years of tax credits with really aggressive labor standards incentives, right? So if you want to build a utility scale wind or solar farm, you're going to get a 30% tax credit if you pay prevailing wage, if you offer benefits, if you employ a certain number of apprentices. All of those are designed to incentivize hiring union workers. That's fantastic. On top of that, there are going to be additional benefits if your project is made using American-made materials, right? So if you're building wind turbines or you're putting out those solar arrays, if you're using American manufactured materials, you'll get an additional incentive on top of that. And so when you start looking at those pieces of it, and by the way, our junior senator, Tammy Baldwin, played a pivotal role in making sure that the Made in America stuff was part of this, as she did in the bipartisan infrastructure law. This is not just a big win on climate, which it is, to be clear. It is also a big win for Wisconsin workers and for unions who, have an opportunity in the coming decade plus to really grow their ranks, to get more people into the trades, to build these utility scale installations. I mean, we already knew in the last couple of months that solar is about to go boom here in Wisconsin. When you look at the amount of projects that are in the pipeline, there's a lot of solar development coming. This is going to turbocharge that and make it so that more of those jobs are completed by Wisconsin workers, by Wisconsin union workers, and are done using American-made materials. That's a win-win-win.
But Joe, Congressman Tom Tiffany told us that the problems with the Texas grid are because they embraced wind and solar, and the wind doesn't blow enough, and he has suggested so many other things that indicate somebody who he said thank God for climate change 10,000 years ago, when the glaciers all receded. So clearly there's still some selling to do for the congressman from the 7th district and those who support him about the benefits. I think because they've just so been trained that, you know, anything that might be good for the economy and good for the climate is equals Green New Deal equals AOC equals bad. And that's a pattern that needs to be broken.
Yeah, I mean, the part of what's so surprising is that a lot of this development is happening because of the marketplace. You know, our conservative friends love to talk about the power of the marketplace. And when you look at what's happening in the marketplace, oil and gas companies, fossil fuel companies, they are starting to transition to cleaner, renewable energy. So this is happening anyways. What public policy can do and what the Biden administration and Democrats in Congress are doing is now making sure that the public sector, that the private sector, excuse me, doesn't go and do this for the, you know, the five cent materials made from China. They're trying to make sure these projects get completed the right way, which is with American workers, with American materials, and with, you know, employment standards that make sure people are paid an honest day's wage for an honest day's work, that they have benefits so that if they're hurt on the job, they can go to a doctor, they can get the care that they need. This is exactly how it's supposed to work, where the marketplace, you know, sets kind of the contours, and then public policy can come in and make sure that something is done right. I think it's fantastic. And frankly, maybe we should have Congressman Tiffany stand next to one of these wind turbines and they can have a contest to see which one can create more energy blowing hard. But
Joe Zepecki is not in the bill. No, it's not. Joe Zepecki is with us, political analyst who writes a healthy amount of content about all of this, explaining these issues and what people are voting for or against on our website. So go to upnorthnewswi.com and you won't have to scroll long at all to see what Joe Zepecki is telling folks about. Let's turn our attention to the healthcare aspects of this, starting with the way that it's estimated that about 150,000 Wisconsinites will not see an increase in the cost of their health insurance. And had that increase come through, an estimated 43,000 Wisconsinites would face the prospect of losing their health insurance coverage. Joe, that's one of several healthcare elements in the Inflation Reduction Act. That one is quite a win for people that, again, don't want to have to job shop just based on where they can get health insurance.
Yeah, there's two big healthcare wins in this that make this a BFD if it was just a healthcare piece of legislation. This is the most important healthcare legislation, healthcare reform since passage of the Affordable Care Act. That's how big a deal this is. So what you're referring to, Pat, is these advanced premium tax credits, which at the height of the pandemic, when people were, you know, the economy was struggling, people were losing their jobs. And you know, when you really don't want to have, when you really don't want to find yourself not having health insurance during a pandemic. So Democrats in Congress, the Biden administration, through the American Rescue Plan, made sure that nobody who buys an Obamacare plan would pay more than 8.5% of their income for health insurance. Those credits have now been extended for another couple of years as we continue to build back the economy. That's win number one. Number two is, and this is something that has been talked about for literally decades, it took until this Congress and Joe Biden to get it done. Medicare is finally going to be able to negotiate with the drug companies for lower costs. The bulk purchasing power that Medicare has is enormous. And they've been fighting with both hands tied behind their back because of the drug companies and Republicans in Congress. No more. It's 10 drugs to start. Every successive year or two, additional, you know, like the cap will come off of that. This is going to lower drug prices for Americans on Medicare. It's going to cap what any senior on Medicare can pay out of pocket for prescription drugs at $2,000 a year. This is going to make healthcare more affordable for millions of Americans and make Medicare a better run, more efficient program in a way that saves the government taxpayer money. In this case, they're going to use that money to pay down the debt. Again, here we are talking about a win-win-win that people wanted to see and support. What a great bill. Let's get the House back and vote on this thing today.
We don't want to wait till Friday. This thing is going to reduce the deficit by an estimated $300 billion because you're going to have that minimum tax on corporations. It doesn't raise taxes on anybody making under $400,000 a year. And let me in the final 10 seconds say, yeah, it gives a lot more money to the IRS because it's about damn time we go after corporations and others and the very wealthy that have been evading their taxes. Let's get that done. And that's what we're doing. Joe Zepecki is our guest for this hour. We will turn towards state political matters coming up after the break. You're up north.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Give Luke all the credit for Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap as leading us into our first topic for this half hour with political analyst Joe Zepecki. And that, of course, would be everybody's favorite Chief Inspector Michael Gableman, the former state Supreme Court Justice. Joe, I don't normally, throw out expressions that, kids use, I can't even. But I just found out a bit ago that Gableman recorded a robocall urging voters to support Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's primary opponent in tomorrow's election, even though it was Voss that put Gableman in charge of the quote-unquote investigation. Gableman's doing a robocall for an election when he's supposed to be this investigator on behalf of all of Wisconsin. Joe, I can't even.
Calling the Republican Party of Wisconsin a flaming dumpster fire at the moment is like an insult to dumpster fires. What an absolute nightmare that Donald Trump comes to town on Friday to stump for Tim Michaels, his preferred candidate for governor, and brings up on stage another Wisconsin Republican he has endorsed, Adam Steen, running against Robin Voss, who nobody's heard of, who doesn't really have a snowball's chance. And all of a sudden, this guy, Mr. Steen, has Trump behind him, he's got Gableman behind him, and there's just chaos on the Republican side. It's just unbelievable.
It is, and I remember seeing when Trump came to Waukesha County Friday when Trump came on behalf of Michaels, that apparently Gableman offered the opening prayer or whatever, where again he asked for protection of for Donald Trump, and I just thought, that takes some guts. Guts wouldn't be the right word necessarily. And now here he is. He has cost taxpayers more than $1 million. And yet he's got the audacity to get involved in another election campaign, in a Republican primary, which does beg this question. And maybe we've been too exposed to, certain political machines back in the day. I always think of like Mayor Daley in Chicago or something. Sometimes we wonder, well, why doesn't Voss just pull the plug on Gableman? The same way I sometimes wonder, why doesn't, the governor pull the plug on this renegade, natural resources board member? And, I guess those are great what ifs and parlor games, but real life is a little more complicated than that.
Well, it's more complicated only if you make it. So here's what I would say. Win, lose, or draw tomorrow, Robin Voss should fire Gableman immediately. You know all these conversations people have about how like Republicans are the daddy party and Democrats are the mommy party, and it's all nonsense. But Republicans like to think that they're the tough guys, right? This is why they like Trump. They'll tell it like it is. He's tough. He's going to take the fight to the people we don't like. Robin Voss, if he was a tough guy, would say, cut the crap. You cross me, you're done. He should fire Gableman this morning, but he won't. So I'll give him until like the end of the week. Voss is busy with his election. Maybe he'll win. Maybe he'll lose. But if he's actually the tough guy that he wants Wisconsin voters to think Republicans are, he would throw Gableman out on his keister by the end of the week, period, end of story.
Instead, we face a primary tomorrow where Voss will face a primary, but the real marquee on the Republican side is the gubernatorial primary. And WISPolitics passes along a new poll from Emerson College and found that it is still as tight as everybody thought it was. 36% of survey respondents backing former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clefish, 36% for her, 34% for construction executive Tim Michaels. So well within the poll's margin of error, 8% backing Tim Ramthun. And inexplicably, 6% still supporting businessman Kevin Nicholson, who dropped out of the race. And here, no, it's 14% are still undecided. So, I mean, we're really not going to know till tomorrow, Joe, unless you tell me you've got here's your chance, some great insight, some big, bold prediction for us.
My prediction is it will be so close that Republicans will remain divided and be fighting over the veracity of the results until maybe close to Labor Day, right? Because if this is a two-point race, whichever candidate wins is going to pull the same nonsense we see from Donald Trump and his allies, which is they're going to call into question the results. So here's my public service announcement for the day. If you are a Republican, go out and vote in your Republican primary, make a decision, choose the direction you want your party to go in. If you are a Democrat or a progressive or someone who has 0% chance of voting for a Republican in the fall, stay out of that primary. Come and vote in the Democratic primary. And I have a number of reasons for that, but like I'm seeing some chatter that people are wondering, like, well, now that, you know, it looks like Barnes is our Senate nominee and we know that Evers is our nominee, should we go vote in that Republican? No, you shouldn't. Cut it out. Vote for Democrats if you're a Democrat. Vote in the Republican primary if you're a Republican. You with me on this, Pat?
Absolutely. Well, on top of that, there are three very important down ballot races at the state level. Attorney General Josh Call, Secretary of State, Lieutenant Governor, and State Treasurer is the one that I'd been forgetting before. Those are key races. And frankly, you know, the Lieutenant Governor position is one of those you don't hear about it until you need it. And there is a Democratic primary there, just as there is for Secretary of State and for State Treasurer. So, yeah, you should be voting in your own party's primary because, again, come Wednesday, I'm going to be turning to people like you going, okay, now tell me again who this person is, who's the Democratic candidate for, you know, State Treasurer is, you know, because it just doesn't get nearly the attention of, say, the Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District.
Yeah, well, I just think about with these three statewide races, these are launching pads for the future leaders of the Democratic Party, right? Our outgoing State Treasurer ran a great campaign for the United States Senate, Sarah Godlewski. Now she has thrown her support to Mandela Barnes, but Sarah is a household name who's got a bright future ahead of her in the Democratic Party, right? In terms of the other, Lieutenant Governor. We've got a Lieutenant Governor who's going to be our nominee. On the Secretary of State front, you know, this is one of those races, those offices, where if Republicans win, they could really do some funny business when it comes to how elections are run and who decides who wins in this state, whether it is actually up to the voters or whether it is partisan elected officials who make the determination about whether or not to certify a state's results. So Democrats, do your homework tonight. Go out and vote in those races. Stay out of the Republican stuff. And Pat made an excellent point, the best point yet, which is if you're in Western Wisconsin, if you're in that 3rd Congressional District, you've got a really important choice to make. Wisconsin's 3rd District is one of the most competitive congressional districts in the country. Republicans are coming for it with all they've got to try and win back control of Congress. Democrats, get out there, decide who you want your nominee to be.
It's going to be, I mean, the Democratic Party is all going to come together post-primary simply because Derek Van Orden, the presumptive Republican nominee in the 3rd Congressional District, you know, was on the Capitol grounds January 6th. And that's probably the nicest thing that he's done over the past couple of years compared to some of his other actions and things. But that is going to be...
And it's not even just about where he was on January 6th. It's what he's running for Congress to do and to be. If you think Marjorie Taylor Greene or Lauren Boebert or Matt Gaetz, if you think that's the model of what you want from a Wisconsin congressperson, then Derek Van Orden is your guy. He ain't going to Congress to work. He's going to be a show pony because he wants to be famous. And he thinks that being a politician is the way to do it since star in these B movies with Steven Seagal didn't work. You know, he's doing it for the shtick. He's not actually doing it to do things like lower costs for seniors or make sure that our workforce is prepared to compete in the 21st century economy. If you want a show horse, fine, go vote for Derek Van Orden. But I think we've got enough of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts in Congress. We don't need another one. And if you're a Wisconsinite, you sure as heck don't want one of those clowns to come from Wisconsin. That's what you're going to get with Derek Van Orden.
That it really reminds me of all the years working in a TV newsroom where you saw people come through and it didn't take long to figure out who wanted to be a TV journalist and who just wanted to be on TV. And then I saw that in the state capitol as well, who actually wanted to go into public service and who just wanted a stage. So speaking of a stage for Republicans, one's going to be constructed in Milwaukee in 2024 when the Republican National Convention comes to town. I understand that it's going to bring economic impact, and I don't, you know, if Mayor Johnson welcomes them, then, you know, bless him for it. I don't think I would have done it. I don't think it's necessarily a great call, but, I'm always happy to be proven wrong. Where are you on the Republican National Convention coming to Milwaukee?
I have this little sign I look at, this little note I wrote to myself every day that says, every day choose joy, optimism, and hope. So I'm going to choose optimism, and I'm going to take this as an opportunity for Republicans who never spend time in urban cities like Milwaukee because they're too busy demonizing and vilifying communities like the one that is just to my south. I think they should come on out. Let's do this. Let them see up close and personal all that there is to offer in a great city like Milwaukee. Come spend your money. I hope they spend all their money. I hope they tip extremely well so that Milwaukee area workers have their best year ever. And, you know, what happens in the convention hall, what happens whether they, you know, nominate Trump or Trump-lite, you know, DeSantis, that's kind of besides the point. That's a TV show. For the rest of it, hopefully it'll be like when Northwestern Mutual Life comes to town and we just get an opportunity to show off our city to thousands of people who would never come here otherwise. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Let them see up close and personal. It's not as bad as they want swing voters to believe it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe Specky is our guest this hour. We've been focusing a lot on the Republicans. I want to turn back to the Democratic side just to get to the U.S. Senate race. Again, we don't have that, you know, close primary that we some of us were expecting early on. Mandela Barnes has cleared the field. And yet you have, again, the legacy media saying, oh, is Mandela Barnes, you know, too far to the left? His liberal this, his liberal that, you know, being a liability. Like I pointed out yesterday on Twitter, Wisconsin is still, when in statewide elections, Wisconsin is still a progressive state. It's a thin margin, but you can't gerrymander an entire state. So when they say, I don't know, can Mandela do it statewide? I think they're missing the mark on, you know, thanks to gerrymandering of the legislature, of what state elections have been like in this state. Do you share that, or do you think Mandela Barnes is going to have an uphill fight?
Oh, listen, it's going to be one of the closest races in the country. It's going to be an uphill fight no matter who it is. But you're absolutely right that the sort of the national media is just totally missing the boat on this. Believe it or not, they let the New York Times let somebody run an opinion column that has the following line in it. The national political winds favor Republican candidates, and Wisconsin's closely divided electorate has moved slightly towards the GOP over the past several years. Apparently, this person doesn't know how to read election results.
Right.
Because there have been 12 statewide elections since Donald Trump won here in 2016, and progressives have won 11 of them. So explain to me how the electorate has moved towards Republicans when we had all those wins in 2018. We're picking up judicial seats and nonpartisan seats. And the only win in the last 5 years since then is Justice Brian Hagedorn, who won by 5,000 votes. So I don't know. Apparently they'll give New York Times opinion columns to anybody.
I think they were, I saw that column and I thought they were just looking for a way to say, yeah, we know he's taken some goofy, unpopular positions, you know, but, and then shrug emoji. It should have been just shrug emoji. Should have been the entire column. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much.
You don't talk like a kid.
This has been great. We will do this again real soon. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Vote blue, everybody.
There you go. Polls open tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to myvote.wi.gov if you have any questions. Otherwise, just get out there and vote. We will wrap up the show after this.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. You're listening to Up North News.
70s today, warmer Tuesday and Wednesday, then cooler for the rest of the week. Scattered chances of rain around the state. So check your local forecast for that. Gosh, Luke, I was so bothered about the Brewers going 1-5 these past couple of games. I didn't even look to see what they're up to next. So you complain about the Brewers while I pull up their schedule here.
I believe they have to go on a road trip, I think.
They've got, okay, here we go. They're off today. They've got two at home against Tampa Bay, Tuesday evening, then Wednesday afternoon, then it's a getaway day. And then it's three in St. Louis, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then they're home for four against the LA Dodgers before they go on a road trip to the Cubs and to the Dodgers. So this is not I think this is it. This is, you know, make or break. I think, how do they come out of those games with the Cubs, Dodgers, and Cards? I mean, we may just have to check out after that.
I don't know about that. I can tell you I won't be checking out for sure. I will be watching angrily if this slump continues throughout the
angrily.
Season.
Yes. Okay.
Well, I already have to watch angrily because I have to go find a stream of it because YouTube TV doesn't allow you to Bally Sports and YouTube TV don't have an agreement. So therefore, I can't watch the Bucks or the Brewers when they're in regular season games because it doesn't come through on my feed. So I have to go, and it's not convenient. I have to go find it, and it's a pain. So I'm already kind of upset with the season as it is, but then the slump on top of it. I have a feeling, though, they're going to get things together. The August series against the Cubs is usually a good one for the crew, and so I'm looking forward to that. Maybe sneak down to Wrigley for one of those games if possible, but we'll see what happens.
I should have mentioned this earlier. Friday's game for the Brewers was on Friday Night Baseball, which is on Apple TV, which means, you know, seven people watched it. But I was one of them, and I did it for their last game as well. I'm like, if I'm paying this damn much for, you know, an iPhone and for everything else, and I've got Apple TV on here, then I better use it. Well, I was solo on Friday night and I didn't want to cook. So, you know, the Edge is right down the street here on Lake Wissota. They have a great fish fry. So I thought, you know, I'll just go there. The game will be up on many TVs all around the bar and I can just watch the Brewers and I can have a really good fish fry, you know, on a bar stool and go from there. As it turns out, because it was a pretty nice day, there was hardly a bar stool to be found. And when I did finally find one and tried to figure out why only the Twins game was on all the TVs, and then the light bulb went off, I'm like, oh, it's Apple TV. So there I am, you know, solo in this packed place watching my TV like this. I was right by the beer tap. So I just leaned this against the beer tap and I had to look like such a nerd or something, just, you know, working on my fish fry and watching my phone. But it also helped me make friends as people came by and they're like, oh, is that the Brewer game? I'm like, yeah, it's on Apple TV. And so they'd want to know a score update and such. So it was inconvenient as all get out, but I do want to say this much. The picture and the graphics are so good. I mean, so crisp. I don't know what exactly they do differently. If it's simply because it, you know, with a smaller screen, you can make it sharper or what it is, but Boy, they put on a good show.
I think they have 4K cameras because this is something that's happening now where you're getting all of these streaming services are getting exclusive rights to not all games, but like a handful of games. And so with Apple TV getting Friday Night Baseball, they have 4K cameras for that. YouTube does like a live stream where you get like a day game every
I've seen that. Yep.
Whatever the day game is will get broadcast to YouTube occasionally. So the Brewers have had a few of those, which has been nice then because I can just go to YouTube for them. Mm-hmm. But then the other alternative, I think Amazon is going to have, if not right away, almost exclusive rights to most of the Thursday night or Monday night football games going forward. So there's going to be more and more of these streaming services that are picking off some of those marquee games. And it's interesting because you think that you're cutting the cable you're cutting off cable and saving some money, but then you got to buy all of these streaming services just to watch.
And that's what we ended up talking about, over my fish fry was people talking about, now you need Apple TV. Now you need Peacock. Right now am I watching something on Netflix or is it on Amazon? Is it something else? And they're like, why can't we put it all on one system? We'll call it cable and we'll just put it all there. But instead, I was in Target yesterday down in Red Wing after going to that wedding. We were picking up a few things, but I started looking at the TVs because the one that I have now, it's a 60-inch flat screen or something. It's a nice TV, but it's over 10 years old. And as a result, there's a lot of things it doesn't get. You can't, unless you buy a separate Apple TV unit and plug it in, you can't get, Disney Plus through it. So we couldn't play things for the kids and whatnot. So I'm looking at TVs now that aren't just, do they have a nice picture? Can you figure out the remote? But now it's what streaming services are easy for them to get. Just all of the bells and whistles as we essentially turn it into a big iPad. We're basically turning everything into tablets and screens, which I suppose for you is no big thing. You didn't have to move rabbit ears around to get good reception once upon a time.
I did it at the grandparents' house trying to figure out channel 3 to be able to get a video game console to go on. I'm still part of that generation, so I got to use all of those devices. But the rotary phone, though, that one I always was... There was one in my grandparents' basement as well, and I always thought that was the craziest thing, that you had to spin around all the numbers just to get a phone call to go out.
I remember hearing about that a few weeks back, that it was like a TikTok video of somebody trying to get their kids and their kids' friends. They're like, I'll give you so much money if you can make this phone call. And they were putting their finger in the holes, but they didn't know to dial it, and that's hilarious to me. That makes no sense. But it was confusing to you.
It was confusing at the time. One of the many cousins older than me would show you, this is actually what you had to used to do to make a phone call. So I still know of that technology. I'm not completely unaware of it, but it is kind of like there's a bunch of giant iPads out there, like you said.
It is where we were going, and I don't think I have the app anymore. No, I used to have, when the iPhone first came out, one of my first apps was to put a rotary thing on here, and you could literally, the picture of the rotary dial, you could spin that to get the phone number, and the young reporters at the TV station just loved that.
I can't imagine just watching somebody try to do that nowadays, so that's funny.
I know. And we talked about that at the Channel 13 reunion over the weekend here, how much technology has changed just since we started there. I mean, my early days of radio, I was one of the last people that cut for audio bites, cut tape with a razor blade and spliced it together. Now I'm having to learn all these digital widgets and whatnot that I have to do right after this show when Luke sends me the download. Where I have to look like an absolute old guy idiot, but I'm trying my best. Thanks for joining us today on Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great day. We'll see you Tuesday.